appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this evening. We have some notes to hand out for you so you can have something to reflect on what I've said. And maybe as you think about it, always remember, you're free to ask questions now and later and much later. You can call the party office or you can go to the party website and send us an email. The website is noted on the bottom of virtually every page of the stuff you're getting tonight. The first thing I want to address is why be politically active? To be a citizen, to be involved as God would want you to be, you need to be engaged. You need to be aware. You need to be on watch. And many times, as a very small group, two or three of you might discuss something, and you may have a great idea. But if you don't share it with anybody, it won't go any further than that. You need to do some functional missionary work. And the simplest way to do that is to be involved with a larger group. And the simplest thing to do is be involved with more folks who think somewhat like you, not identically, because if you talk to folks who have similar ideas, they will enrich your idea. They will expand your idea. And that is what a political party is all about. You go from the very small group of folks who have the kernel of an idea. They grow it. They move it out to being something that is bigger. You then find spokesmen for that idea within a political party. You might call them candidates. They run on that idea. They connect with other people on that issue and move it forward so that they can be elected. If they're elected, your idea is moving forward. If they're not elected, your idea is going back to where you started. The most important thing is to get folks elected who represent your point of view so that they can then change the law. And the Democrats frequently talk about making laws that take away your freedoms. The Republican Party's platform, if we look at the platform piece that I gave you, the very first line under Statement of Principles says, America was founded on the fundamental principles of liberty and freedom. The Democrats believe it was founded on regulation and entitlement. And that's probably the biggest difference of the two parties. We believe in a strong national defense with secure borders and a secure homeland. They are not sure about that. We see a Democrat governor this past week wanting to give driver's licenses to all illegal aliens in his state. Very troubling thought. Republicans believe in the sanctity of life. Republicans have slightly different views of that. But all Republicans have a much stronger view of the sanctity of life than virtually any Democrat. You find a Democrat who believes in the sanctity of life, and I think we have someone that we can make into a Republican fairly quickly. We believe in the free enterprise system. The Democrats only think about that being Republicans believe in getting rich. No, we believe that you have the opportunity to perform, to be involved, to succeed, and to fail. And if you fail, you will have learned something. You will pick yourself back up if you have some self-confidence and believe in yourself. You've learned more. It's another form of education. And you're going to continue to do things. And eventually you will succeed, probably more than you ever dreamed. I had a fellow who worked for me years ago. He says, I never thought anybody would pay me this much to do what I do. And I says, well, Bill, you're better at what you do than virtually anybody I've ever met. And I've always thought you were probably slightly underpaid. He says, that's what my wife says. We also believe that not only the free enterprise, but the pure entrepreneurial spirit. That you know more about the things around you than anybody. If the government sets out a plan, you can count on several things. One, it's going to be late. Number two, it's going to cost more than it was intended to. When have you heard of a government project underrunning a budget? If you ran everything around your house over budget the way they believe the government ought to be run, you'd be in terrible shape all the time. So I think if you just think of your own life and how you live it, being solidly founded on family, faith, personal responsibility, and accountability. It puts you in a position of saying, well, if that's what the Republicans are, I'm one of them. And if you work through the process, Alaska came into the Union as a Democrat state, a highly union-organized state where the military initially was not allowed to vote because they might vote Republican. The courts finally threw that out. The courts are good sometimes, not always. It takes a while to fix the courts. But if you work on things on a consistent basis with a long-term view, and that's why I think being here with you today is so extremely important, because with young people, you have an opportunity to do many things. And this year, you have this wonderful opportunity to vote in a presidential election. Those of you who will be turning 18 before November the 4th next year will have an opportunity to vote for president. Those of you who turn 19 will have the opportunity to do it for the first time. And those of you who are 22 who didn't quite get around to voting last time, it'll be your first time to vote also. Now, not only can you participate in the presidential election, but you can participate in your district conventions. The Alaska Republican Party district conventions will occur on February 5 down at the Egan Center for all of Anchorage. So all of you can participate that are over 18. Those of you who are under 18 are welcome to attend as visitors or as pages. Contact the party office if you want to participate as a page, and you can get involved. If you're over 18, you can be a delegate. Everybody who's a registered Alaska Republican can be a delegate to the conventions. South Anchorage has 6 different districts. They'll send approximately 110 people to the state convention. We normally have several 18, 19-year-olds as delegates to the national to the state convention. I encourage some of you to think about being a delegate. If your mom or dad's going to be a delegate, it's legal to come along as a delegate in your own right. A few years ago, at the Ketchikan State Convention, we had a grandfather, father, and grandson. 3 members of the same family as delegates. We've had a number of times where 2 members of the same family have been involved. And I encourage you, even on your own. We had one 18-year-old lad in 2000 come to a convention. I still haven't met his mom and dad, but he is still extremely active. He's now through college and is still a very engaged, involved Republican. So if we think about all the things we can do, it's a matter of initiating it by registering to vote. We have registration forms to pass out tonight for those of you who are at least 17 3/4, because you can register when you are 90 days short of your 18th birthday, or you can take a form tonight and register in the very near future if you're about to get to that point. I can take registration forms with me tonight and turn them into the Division of Elections and get you the opportunity to be a registered voter, a fully enfranchised member of society, an Alaskan citizen who has all the rights and privileges of all those old folks you've been dealing with all these years. So take the opportunity to become engaged, become involved. Remember that if you believe in yourself, you probably ought to be a Republican, because the Democrats contend the government has to take care of you, which to me is the most appalling thought I could think of. So, any questions, any thoughts? Yes, ma'am. There's probably a few more somewhere. If not, we can get you some additional ones, and I'll bring them down and give them to the folks here, and you can pick them up next week. Yes, ma'am. Okay, a delegate to the district convention will be participating in the following items, and I'm glad you brought this up because I did a very poor job of that. The first thing that you will do as a delegate, you'll participate in the presidential preference poll, where Alaskans will be voting for which of the current 8 folks running for president that our delegates to the national convention will be supporting. So you will be having a direct input in that by just coming to the convention. To the district convention. The second thing is the district convention will do the preliminary work on updating the platform that's in front of you. Yes, it'll be gone through, butchered, diced, quartered, minced, munched, and Some planks will go away. Others will be changed slightly. And some probably haven't been changed in 10 years. So the platform will be reworked. Resolutions that are relevant to things happening today will come up from various districts. Some of the resolutions will affect things that are going on in your hometown in Anchorage. Some of them will be state resolutions. Some will be resolutions that have a national content. And then we'll work on something that is about as mundane and exciting as watching grass grow in the Sahara Desert. We'll work on the party rules. The party rules are the governor's process for the party. I was rules chairman back in the late 90s and felt it was the most important job in the world because I wanted to fix the rules. The rules had gotten to be too long, too cumbersome. In fact, they had a lot in common with the IRS code. You could be convicted of anything anybody wanted to call you guilty of. So we went ahead and shrunk the rules by about 35%. And one of my missions as party chairman has been to continue to reduce the length, not the content, but the volume. Make the things mean something so that normal people, three of them could read something and come to maybe almost the exact same conclusion. Our central committee meetings used to be bloody battles over what you could and couldn't do. The rules now work to where we can work on them other guys, the Democrats. We don't take shots at each other most of the time. Much better business plan. And then we will also elect delegates to the state convention. The bigger districts in South Anchorage will elect about 20 delegates to the state. So if we have two or three folks that are under 25, you could have a substantial presence if you decided to go to state. And the state convention is here in Anchorage, so you don't have a major travel bill. You don't even have a hotel bill because you can probably stay at home and drive in each morning to the Captain Cook to participate. And there we'll go through and finalize the state platform. We'll adopt state resolutions, and we'll elect our delegates to the National Convention in Minneapolis on September 1st through 4th. And all of these facts will be on the state party website, which is alaskarepublicans.com, that you can go to. And if you live in District 29, see who your leadership is. That's kind of the local neighborhood. If you're slightly up the hill, it's District 30. And if you're up the hill that way, it's 31. And if you're the very far south end of town, it's 32. If you're over on the coast, Bay Shore and Ocean View, it's 28. So you have many opportunities, different organizations to participate in, and then see your colleagues at the state convention.
So we get registered to vote, and we're a young person, we don't know anything.
Okay. Well, one of the things is there's a few websites where you can go to get information. The other is the state party does emails on every day or every couple of day basis. So if your folks, any of you, give Pastor Josh or James your email address, and I can make sure that we distribute things to you to give you homework. Horrible thought. But it is an opportunity to learn, to participate, to gain an understanding of your own. And one of the ways that I characterize the development of a political soul, almost everybody that comes into politics has a single issue that brings them. There's something that motivated them. Their grandmother got sued, so they hate trial lawyers. They are very pro-life. They are very anti-tax. Whatever the issue is. One issue brings almost everybody in the door. What I think is incredible is when those folks can articulately engage in a conversation in their second and third issue, where they have grown, where they have expanded their understanding, where they understand more of the conservative agenda. Your local legislator, Ralph Samuels from District 29, ran for office because of a victim's rights issue. His brother, I believe, was killed in an accident, And he was just appalled by how he was how the family was treated, how little regard there was for the victim. He has become one of the most functional leaders, spokesman on a whole array of Republican issues. This guy actually ran for office really only being very aware of one issue. So, and one of the traditional ones, it was a very novel Republican issue that motivated him to participate, and now probably spends a full third of his life on political activity. Other questions over here? Any others? Give the folks your email addresses. We can contact you. Register to vote. Go to the website. Make sure that you pay attention. And we'll try to torment you a little bit to keep you involved. Also, if you give us your phone numbers, we can make sure that you get called for district conventions and so forth. The more ways we have to contact you, the more likely it is for you to be involved. Amazing. It works that way in anything you want to do. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time to be with you. And always feel free to call us at the office.
Hey, thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. All right, so you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to stick around for a little bit. And we're going to get registrations to vote. Now, I want to cast a little vision for you guys. Some of that you might not have totally grasped. A lot of new words, a lot of new concepts. But I want to read a scripture to you really quick. All right? I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. All right? 1 Peter chapter 2. This thing is in my way. You got it? You got it? Come on. Are you guys awake out there? This is a big deal. What we're talking about right now is a huge deal. And I don't want you to miss what God expects for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 said, Submit yourselves. Okay, now listen. This is talking about you. This is talking about me. We're believers. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. I think it said every authority. Did it say every authority? Every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as to the supreme authority, which would be our president, or to governors, who are sent to him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will, say God's will, that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Fear God. And honor the king. Let's pray. You guys ready? Lord, I ask that you would bring light to your word today. God, that you would inspire your people today. God, that our lives would be opened to a move of your spirit. God, that we would hear your voice today. God, we'd be compelled to be believers that are willing to take action in our city, to take action in our nation. God, to not stand aside and let the schemes of the enemy and the carnality of this generation and the generations that have gone on before us to overwhelm our families and our cities and our nation. God, I pray that you would raise up a generation right now in the hearts of these young people. God, you would inspire them, God, to be men and women of issue. God, men and women that are committed to press your character, your nature forward in this generation and in our city and in our nation in Jesus' name. All God's people said. Now listen to me. Listen. You are under authority. You're always going to be, and you're not going to get out of it. Whether someone takes over our nation, and we live under somebody's rule, or we're going to live in freedom under our president, under our governors, and all of the freedoms that we've established through our Constitution and all of our rights that we have, we're going to still live under some kind of authority, whether it be tyrannical or whether it be under a free nation. Maybe not perfect, but it's good. Amen? Now listen, you're going to be under authority. Period. Why not be in charge? Huh? Why not lead it? Why? If you're going to be under authority, why not be in that authority? Instead of just stand on the sidelines and let everybody else make all the decisions. God's telling you that you have to submit yourself under all authorities instituted by men. Amen? Right? That's what's godly. That is your commission from the Lord. So if you have to do that, as believers, why would we not want to be the leaders of this movement? Why not? Just think about that. You know, I remember when I was in high school, and you know, I was a sophomore, and I was getting to the end of the year, and you know, they're starting to do elections and stuff like that. And I was thinking about, this is kind of just a basic example, but I was thinking about all the things that we had to do as a junior class. We're going to do the prom, and we got all this stuff going on. I'm thinking, everybody's going to screw it up. They're all going to screw it up. I'm like, I've been thinking about all the years of the important things that, you know, and when in the school that I was in, it was like, being the junior class kind of had the responsibility to lead the school into some important things like homecomings and proms and all this kind of stuff. And so, whatever, that was what was most important to me at the time. And I thought, if I'm going to have to do all this work, I might as well be in charge. Right? Now, I know that I like to lead and I'm bent towards leadership, but I decided if it's going to get done, it might as well get done with the right values. Right? If it's in you, you have a responsibility to lead. You're going to be under this authority. You're going to be under it. Do you want to be under an authority that has your values? Or under an authority that has Babylon's values, that has pagan values? Come on. I'm being serious right now. In our nation, they legalize abortion, like killing people. It's not good. They destroy thousands and thousands of lives. And it's legal. Because there is authorities that are in place, people in those authoritative positions that make decisions that are contrary to Christian values, to our Christ values, to God's nature. Is that okay with any of you? Because look, this is not okay with me. This isn't all right. Now, I'm not just an abortion-only issue guy. I think there's a lot of issues, and our brother was very kind to share some of the values of, you know, the Republican Party. But the reality is it's so much bigger than just one party. This is about the nature of God, what God's law is and what He desires for our nation. Okay? What do you value? Who are you? What did God shape you for? Are you and I going to allow this generation and this nation to just slip by? Are we going to do something about it? I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 2. Now, I don't hear those Bibles turning. Come on. Are we bringing our Bibles to church? You don't have a Bible, you need to get a Bible. It's the Word. It's the truth. It's your life. All right, you need to get your Bibles, you need to get them to church, and you need to open them. And then you need to read them when I'm reading. Yes, yes, yes. James chapter 2 and verse 1. My brothers and sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. If you show him special attention, to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, here is a good seat for you. But say to the poor man, you stand here or sit by the floor by my feet. You have now discriminated. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you have instituted or insulted the poor. It is not the rich, yes, who are exploiting you. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into the courts? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. Stay with me. You guys with me? Okay, you need some word in you today. Right? Amen? You need a little truth in you today. We need to build a foundation in you today. You ready? Okay. Stay with me. For he said, do not commit adultery. Also said, do not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, have you... What? If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged. Say speak. Say act. Okay, now look, you're going to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Law that gives freedom. You can look at law in two ways. Law can control you. All these rules, they just control me. The Bible's full of all these rules. Or law, which the Bible says, can be a platform for your blessing. Law, structure, is not control. Not in its healthiest form. Law and structure is a platform for you to stand on. A platform for us to build our cities and our communities, our lives and our families on. But if we look at law with a wrong perspective, or if we twist law and we pervert law, God's law, then all of a sudden, everything starts to crumble. The structure of law begins to control. It begins to not liberate us, but it begins to bind us up. Let's keep going on. I'm going to tie that in just a little bit, but check it out. Verse 20. Okay, no, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, but I have... No. Verse 14. We're not going to skip it. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? What good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Say, heck no. Right. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, say action, is dead. It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. That was a lot. But this is so important. if we as believers are not willing to take action with our lives, other people will. Other people will take action. And I promise you, you will not like it. Already, I don't like it. I know my friend in the back, he doesn't like some of the people that have taken action in our nation. Right? You will raise your families in this nation. God has positioned this nation to be a blessing to the world. But it can be used as a tool of destruction. What are you going to do with your life? Who are you going to be in the kingdom of God? Are you going to take your role? Take your faith? Okay, we've been building your faith. For years, some of you for years now, we've been building faith. Some for months. How many guys have been encouraged by your faith by being in our church? Come on. All right,
nobody in that section over there. Oh, sweet Lord Jesus, help us.
Just raise your hand just for me. Come on. Yeah, the whole section. Let's get the whole section waving. Or not. Okay. You got faith. That's great. What about action? Come on, what about action in your life? Are you willing to do the things that need to be done? Are you willing to get yourself in and register to vote? You know how many Christians are not registered to vote? It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Okay? We're allowing other people to just make decisions however they want, whatever they want, based on whatever value they want. We have people in legislature that want to take and change the law. Oh no, the Ten Commandments are not law. We can just make it up into whatever we want. You know, law is relative. Really? Is God like some kind of shifting shadow that changes? No. Who God is. He is. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift. He is. He is law. His nature is law. Who he is, the shape of who he is what shapes and controls and holds all things in this world in its place. That's it. We can't change it. You can't change gravity. Can you change gravity? Can you make the sun come up? Can you make it go down? Can you make it rain today? No, because you can't change law. Nor can you change God's moral law, who he is. And he can't change himself. He is the great I am, period. There's nothing else. So listen, people want to change all this junk, and we're hiding somewhere as a church. Now look, so many of you are young right now, and you might be 13, 14 years old. Now's the time to find out what your faith is all about. Now's the time to find out who God shaped you to be. Now's the time to discover what he put inside of you, what he wants you to contribute, not only into the ministry, into this four walls of our church. And this is not what it's all about. This church is where you're equipped, so when you go into the city, you take the nature of Christ with you. Okay? And then you make an impartation. Now you're in your family, in your home, and you're in your school. But you need to be equipped now. So that when you're 18 and you can vote, you know what you're taught, you know what you're voting on. You know what you're voting about. You know what it's all about. You know what the issues are. At least got a good start on them. Amen? You know what you believe and what you value already. Don't let somebody else make these decisions for you. You've got to make these decisions. James 4:17. Says anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. You have a responsibility as a citizen of our nation to vote. If you do not do this,
If you don't take action and you're not active as a citizen of our nation, the good you ought to do, you don't choose to do it. Now, I'm just going to let you fill in the blank. I'm not going to say not voting is a sin, okay? But if you and I don't vote and they legalize abortion in our city, in our state, is it legal right now? Is abortion legal in the state? Sort of, not really. It happens in our state. Okay. If we don't vote, now if we vote and we do everything we can, right? And they still legalize it, okay, the blood's off of our hands. We can still fight and do all kinds of other things, right? But if we don't vote, and we know the good we ought to do to stop something as horrible as abortion, I'm just going to use that one example because it's bad. It's really bad. And it's obvious. It's overtly horrible, right? So if we don't take that stand, we know the good we ought to do to save lives, but we don't do it, guess what? We're responsible. You will stand before God. I will stand before God for the good that I should have done and did not do. Faith needs to come into action. You know, you're gonna get older, and some of you are young adults, and you see this already. You're like, why doesn't somebody do something about this issue? Why don't they do something about that? You know, I want to ask you this. Why not us? Why not right now? Why not you? Why don't you do something about this issue? Why don't you take a stand? Why don't you allow God to stir up a passion in your heart to be someone of importance, to be someone of significance in this nation, in this generation? Why not you? Now listen, there's all kinds of people out there that have all these kind of jobs, these political jobs, they're judges, school teachers, all kinds of stuff, right? Listen, they're not that much more gifted than you. They're not. I promise you, a lot of you in this room are probably at least as gifted as they are close enough to where you could probably beat them out of their job if you really wanted it. Because you know what most people are looking for? Character. Not a resume. I don't want to vote for somebody who has a great resume. That's fine. I want a man or a woman of character. You can be that. Anybody can be that. See, everybody has the full potential to be a 10 in character. Now, you might only be able to be a 4 in playing the violin or being, you know, the best public speaker, okay? But you can be a 10 in character. That means you can make righteous decisions. You can clothe yourself with the righteousness of Christ. You can be holy as God is holy. And you can make solid decisions in your family, right? And in voting and in our city that bring about righteousness in other people's lives. Not only through your example, but through the influence that you have. Now listen, somebody's going to go out there and they're going to be on the school board. Somebody's going to go out and he's going to get himself on the ethics committee. Somebody's going to go out and become a judge in our city or a lawyer, right? Over our city, over our state, or over in our nation. Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to go out and be the mayor or the governor. Somebody's going to go be a congressman or a senator. Somebody's going to be a school teacher or a librarian, a doctor or a businessman, a business owner. In Genesis 1:28, God commissioned us to be fruitful and multiply, to go and subdue the land, to increase in number greatly. Subdue the land. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:13 that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above and we are not beneath. In Romans 8:37, it says that we are more than conquerors. 2 Corinthians 10:14 says that we can grab a hold of things and we can demolish any stronghold. Listen, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Come on, some of you need to be stirring up in your heart. Has God called me to be a school teacher? Has God called me to be a politician, to be a lawyer, a judge? Listen, somebody's going to lead you. Somebody's going to be in charge. It might as well be you. It might as well be the believers. It might as well be someone who has a unified value to bring Christ into our nation. Somebody's going to do it. Are you asking God? You can't just be an average Joe. You can't be. Wherever you are, you have to be a dynamic believer for God. Whether that's pumping gas or standing before our city as the governor. I don't care. You've got to be a dynamic man and or woman of God. Your character has to be unshakable, non-compromising, penetrating. Has to be that light that Andrew was preaching about earlier. That we just take it up and we just, this is who I am. Love me. Just love me. Right? Come on. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be? Are you going to consider that God might be calling you into an important place of leadership in our city? Not just thinking about being in our church. Now you need to come to our church or go to a church to be equipped so you can have this type of character. And when you go out there and you get beat up, you need a place where you can come back home and somebody can help you nurse your wounds. Right? You need a family. Change starts with one decision. With a person that determines in their mind that they will be. And that they will overcome. You want to be a person of significance. You want to make a difference in whatever it is that God's called you to. And it's not everybody's going to be called to one of the things I named. You got to discover what it is. Now, I expect that some of you are going to be these things. I want to see a governor come out of my youth ministry. Come on. That would be exciting to me. But listen, every great person made a decision. Every great man or woman of God made a decision at one point. They decided that they will. They're going to do it. No matter what it costs them, they're going to do it. When Luther decided to translate the New Testament into the common language, he knew it would cost him his life. But he decided it was worth it. And he changed the course of the world in his lifetime. The entire world was completely broken open and transformed because he laid his life on the line. Who are you? Are you willing to be who God shaped you to be? To make the contribution that he made and shaped you for, that he willed you for? Are you willing to make that decision to change and to overcome whatever adversity that the enemy or other people bring in front of you so that you can be what God shaped you for? The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Come on. You've got to allow the blood of the Lamb in your life to transform who you are and to create a testimony of that transformation of your old nature into your new nature, that you become a powerful man and woman, man or woman. Oh, that'd be scary. that can leave a mark wherever you are, wherever God whatever he shaped you for and wherever he puts you into. Listen, you are an ambassador for Christ. You carry the fruit of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you're an ambassador for Christ. Galatians 5:22, you need to carry and harbor as an ambassador the fruit of the Spirit. Wherever you go, man, you're in the workplace. You're in your school right now being educated. You go and you're going to, you know, be a judge somewhere and you're going to be making decisions about what is right and what is wrong. Come on, you're an ambassador. You got to carry the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. Right? Come on. Listen. One person can change the entire course of our world. One. It's happened many times. many, many times. We could go down the examples over and over and over. What if an entire group of people make a decision to change the course of their world in their lifetime? Come on. Why not you? Why not? It's just a decision. They were not so amazing. They weren't. What they had was they had the determination and they had the desire and the will to overcome. Anybody can have that. Anybody. Anybody can have that kind of character. Nothing separates you from the love of Christ, from the nature of God. Nothing can separate you from God's nature in your life. Nothing can do it. People can separate you from your arm and from your leg and from other people. But nothing can separate you. Nothing can divide you from what Christ does in your life and from what you're committed to Him in your heart. They can kill your physical body, but then you'll be one with Christ. Right? To live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah. Revelation 12:11 finishes by saying this. They did not live lives so much as to shrink back from death. They didn't go into the situation. They didn't overcome by going in and shrinking. Oh, I think I'm going to die. Oh, I don't want to die. Oh. And just all shrink back. Oh, I'm so wimpy. No. They just charge in. I don't care if I die. To die is gain. I know my position in Christ. I'm saved, set aside, set apart by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to overcome by the power of what He's done in my life. And I'm not going to shrink back from anything the enemy brings in front of me. I don't care if they shout at me, they spit at me. They tell me I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat. I got bad complexion. I don't care. Because my God loves me. And if they even kill me, I'm going to heaven. It's going to be good. And I get one of those sweet robes. If they do that to me, I'm like, thanks for that. Right? You just got to know the truth. What's the truth? The truth is that Christ has set you free. The truth is that in Him, all things are possible. In His blessings, you can subdue the land. You will be the head and not the tail. If you choose to be, if you choose to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You choose to be an ambassador to carry the Spirit of God with you everywhere you go. You choose to allow the destiny that He shaped you for to emerge out of your heart and take action, put action to your faith, and you step into a prominent role in our city. Come on. You subdue the land. Why not you? They're not that much smarter than you. In fact, they probably aren't even as smart as you are. It's a smart bunch of people in here. I know they're not as good looking as you are. That's not possible. Y'all beautiful. Someone's got to do it. You know, we're going to get ourselves into all kinds of situations that are not going to be fun. You take a stand, you're going to take hits. You're going to have casualties. It's not going to be pretty. It doesn't always work out like the fairy tale books. There's just not enough frosting and fairy dust to go around to make the world perfect. All right? Junk happens. Even when we take a stand. But who are you looking for your affirmation? Who are you looking to for your affirmation? Is it the world? Is it what your peers think about you? Or is it what your Heavenly Father thinks about you? Because Proverbs says multiple times that the beginning of wisdom, the birthing of wisdom and understanding, is in the fear of our God. So awesome. The beginning of wisdom, the application of truth in our life, faith in our action, the action of our faith, the beginning of all of this, the seeds of the kingdom, come on, is found in the fear of our God. Is found in desiring the affirmation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's where it's at. Come on, right there in finding that affirmation. I don't care if other people love me. Not as much as I care if my Heavenly Father loves me. Lord, am I pleasing you today with my life? Nah, Lord, I know they're going to yell at me when I share my faith with them. I know when I take a stand at that abortion clinic and I hold that sign, right? Come on. Somebody might even door me. Oh, break my leg. Yeah, drive by and they open the door. Pow! It might happen. Somebody might shoot you. I didn't get shot. Happened to me? No, it didn't happen to me. I've been shot at by a BB gun once. That was scary. That was all, though.
Good Nikiski fun. Yeah, don't go there without safety glasses. Hard hat. Shoulder pads. Listen.
You might not, you probably won't be loved by the world. You shouldn't be loved by the world. You should be hated. But you know, in the Old Testament, because of the way they lived, Israel lived, they ran after pagan foreign gods and allowed their values and their culture to infiltrate and to overwhelm them. God said, look, you wanted to serve foreign gods in a land that was your own. And now guess what? I'm going to send you out to serve foreigners in a land that does not belong to you. It's in Jeremiah 32:34. Listen, I personally don't want to live in a land that's my own, that's run by foreign beliefs, by pagan beliefs. You know who came and took over Israel because they were so after idolatry and other values of other nations? The northern kingdom of Babylon comes down and overwhelms their nation and destroys them and rips them out and takes them off into the land of Babylon and begins educating their children with their pagan philosophies and values. Come on, who's going to educate your children? What are they going to teach them? What are they teaching them? Who's teaching you right now? What kind of junk are they cramming in your head? I mean, seriously, does it have anything to do with this? What do they say about God's word and who God is? They defile our God. Sounds a little bit like Babylon to me. Now, I'm preaching a whole series to you right now that I have prepared
for you.
But listen, we're going to allow Babylon to come and to educate our children. We're going to allow Babylon to come and make decisions about where we're going and who we're supposed to be. You're going to submit to an authority, 1 Peter. You're going to do it, so am I. What are you going to do about it? Look, you got a chance right now to begin to educate yourself about our political systems, about our freedoms. How many of you guys have read the Constitution? Raise your hand. Dude, that's awesome. Some of it. Yeah. I read one page. I read one word, actually. But I read it. I didn't have to lie. Sweet. Listen, you got to know the Constitution. You got to educate yourself about our nation and how we make decisions. Even if you're not going to be a politician, you got to take your faith and put it into action in our cities, in our state, in our nation. You have the power to vote. Now, this whole message isn't just about voting, okay? But it is an important piece in that. See, everything comes, the vote is so powerful. The vote is so powerful. You don't have to have any position in our nation. You don't have to do anything but sign your name up on this little piece of paper and whoop, stick it out. And you and I can cast our vote, and it can change the course of our nation. That's awesome. And if we all do it together, and if we fill this room 4, 5, 6 times over with the people that are out on the street and they're homeless and broken and lost and hurting and dying and they're all messed up and they never even sign up to vote, but we win them to Christ and we build Christ-like character in them and they begin to raise godly families. Come on. And they begin to vote. Now all of a sudden we've just multiplied. Take over the land, subdue it and multiply. Right? Yeah. Yeah, now that's something I can get behind. That's something I can get excited about. But listen, you can't lead people in a place that you haven't gone. You can't lead people anywhere you haven't been willing to go yourself. You don't vote. You don't do the good you ought to do, right? Take the stand you ought to take. Laziness or slothfulness just overtakes you. I just didn't get around to voting. Now, like our brother said, you got 4 more years to vote for the next president. 4 more years! You're stuck with a joker for 4 years? Okay, now listen, we better hope he's a good one, and you better get yourself registered to vote, and you better get out there and be a part of that decision. Right? All right. Will you stand with me? No, sit with me. No, stand. I'm just doing it because I can. Oh, praise the Lord. So, listen, today we're going to take some action. How many of you guys are almost 17 or over? Raise your hand. Look at that. That's a lot of people registering to vote right today. We got time for that? We got enough papers for all these people? Praise Jesus. Now listen. Look at me. Look at your pastor. Don't make me rebuke you. Come on. I know the Bible says in here somewhere it's good for rebuke, correction. Come on. Now, I expect that every single one of you feels convicted by the Lord enough to where you're not going to leave before you register to vote. I'm telling you, don't make me spank you. I will do it. All right? And I love you, and I want to pray over you. I want to pray that God brings to completion the work that He started in you, Philippians chapter 1. He brings to completion the work He started in you. Christ Jesus has a plan to shape this city, to change it through the generations that are emerging, and you are the forerunners of that plan. Amen? All right. Come on, you believe it? I'm going to pray over you. Lift your hands. Lord God, I ask for your blessing over your people right now. God, that your favor would rest upon them. God, that you'd be a shield about them. God, that it wouldn't be just the issue, God, but it'd be the character that you pour out in their hearts, God. Your nature would be poured out in their hearts, God. And by the desire to please you, God, that they would rise up and take this city by force. They would take it by just the sheer presence that is within them of your Holy Spirit. God, pour out your Spirit in great measure. God, the gifts that you've given them, grow them. Fan a flame to them, God. Pour out your Spirit in great measure, God. I pray that your favor would go before them in such a way, God, that great and effective doors would be open that no man could shut. God, you'd open up positions for judges right now in this city for some of these young people here. God, that governors and mayors and school teachers and librarians, God, would just be raised up in this group right now. God, that the gatekeepers of the city would be believers in Jesus' name. Be men and women that have godly character, that would be willing to lead with passion. God, open up every door. Right now, God, for every person in this city that desires to please you, that desires to live their life for you, that desires to trade their life for eternity, to trade their life for something that's worth it. Pour out your spirit, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. We'll see you next week, but don't leave until you register to vote with our brother.